Hey, Tea Time fam. It's me, Tara. I am momentarily pressing a pause on the usual heaviness of Tea Time with Tara to bring you some Halloween fun. Since last episode was so heavy, I decided that we needed to be a little silly for once. I do want to give you a little heads up. For those of you who may be sensitive to the topic, we will be diving into the world of serial killers. I want to keep it light, but it still may be upsetting for some people. So, Halloween isn't all ghosts and jump scares. There is so much history. There are celebrations all around the world, obviously candy, and of course, Halloween. And a conversation about Halloween would not be complete without talking about some true crime. So, whether you are cozy on your couch, on the way to work, or getting ready to go to a Halloween party, get comfy. Let's unravel the fascinating sides of Halloween. First up, let's lift the veil on some Halloween tidbits that may surprise you. History buffs, this one's for you. Halloween goes way back to a Celtic fiesta called Samhain. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Think of it as their way of saying goodbye to summer and a casual what up to the spirit world. Yep, they believed the living and the dead had a little mingle sesh on this day. Fact number two, jack-o'-lanterns are more than just pumpkin art. The tale actually comes from Ireland about a guy named Stingy Jack. He apparently bamboozled the devil, got barred from both heaven and hell, and ended up just wandering with a lit up turnip. Arriving in America, the Irish swapped out the turnip for our beloved pumpkin. I would say that the pumpkin is definitely an upgrade from the turnip. Fact number three, our furry friends and my personal favorite, cats, they were not always the meme stars that they are now. Back in the day, druids felt that some cats were humans who got a downgrade for their misdeeds. So basically, if you did something wrong, you were turned into a cat. I'm not sure I love that idea just because, I mean, as a cat mom, I can definitely say that sometimes my cat's personalities freak me out a little bit, especially those evil stares they give you. Fact number four, Halloween has a bunch of aliases. All Hallows Eve, Witch's Night, Lamb's Wool, Snap Apple Night. I'm sorry, but where does Snap Apple Night come from? I'm actually really curious about that. Maybe next time I will delve into the backstories. Fact number five, and the final fun fact about Halloween, costumes were actually not originally a fashion statement, but a strategy for the people who dressed up during Samhain to blend in with the spirits. It's like, hey, you can't see me, I'm a ghost too. I wonder if that's where people started wearing sheets. And I wonder honestly what they wore. Okay, I guess next year I've got a little more digging to do. Honestly, I didn't know anything about the history, so these little fun facts are knowledge to me, and I thought that they were kind of cute and a little fun rather than, like I said, the usual heaviness. So I hope that you enjoyed them. Next up, we are going to talk about some serial killers. This topic is something that really, really fascinates me. I don't know why. I have always been fascinated by serial killers ever since I was very young. And I read a book. God, I wish I could remember what the book is. I really suck at not having that. It was a really old book. It was hard to even find when I was trying to get somebody else a copy, and I loaned it and never got it back. But Anyway, it was written by a psychologist, a criminal psychologist, and it really got me into the psychology behind serial killers. So a lot of these stories end up being a lot more terrifying than any of the scary stories that people make up, because it actually happened. I'm gonna start us out with probably the most famous of all serial killers, Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy is a name that has been etched into everyone's minds when it comes to true crime and serial killers. He was both charming and deceptive. He defied the stereotypes of what we imagine a serial killer to look like, and he used his charisma to lure victims. So he would pretend like he was injured or pretend like he needed help in order to trick people into helping him. The spooky Halloween-esque part about his dual nature: on one side, he was this charismatic, good-looking guy, and on the other, he was an absolute monster. It's almost like the duality of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Because he seemed so unsuspecting and so normal and average, it just makes him all that more fascinating. I would love to get more into serial killers, maybe on another special of some sort. You guys let me know what you think. I would love to delve more into Ted Bundy and his crimes, especially because I find him so incredibly fascinating. Moving on to another really big serial killer name, Jeffrey Dahmer. He was often termed the Milwaukee Cannibal. He was known for his heinous crimes that not only included murder, but also necrophilia and cannibalism. And just to tie these two guys together, actually, not many people know Ted Bundy also performed necrophilia. So gross, gross. I know, it's really messed up. But if we talk about traits fitting for a horror movie, Jeffrey Dahmer's actions post-crime was particularly gruesome, because he would keep souvenirs, including body parts, like preserving them in his fridge. Like, I'm pretty sure that when the police went into his apartment, there was stuff just all over the place. I believe that there was even a pot on the stove of penises, and I don't know if that's a legend or not, but he was definitely cooking and eating his victims. He would preserve their meat for later. Both of these individuals, with their dark tendencies, could easily be central figures of horror movies, and I'm sure, as you know, there have been many movies made about them. It's really crazy to think about the capacity that humans have for evil. And so that's why I figured that it would be kind of cool to talk a little bit about them, to get you in the Halloween spirit, because the lines between reality and fiction can blur so much when we talk about this, because they do really sound like they are straight out of a horror movie. Switching gears a little bit from real life monsters, we can talk about the world of pop culture and serial killers in pop culture. As I mentioned before, there have been several movies made about both Ted Bundy and Jeff Dahmer. There are tons of other serial killer movies out there. They have a significant presence in movies, TV shows, and books for decades. But what impact does this have on our perception of these evil figures? From the cunning Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs, which happens to be my favorite movie, I am nuts and have watched that movie 10 million times, and it never gets old. He is such a fascinating character. Then we have the meticulous Dexter Morgan in the series Dexter. I feel like he is also one of my favorite fictional characters. I love the idea of a vigilante serial killer. Obviously, the representation of serial killers in the media has varied widely. Sometimes they're the pure evil antagonist, while other times they are portrayed with a depth that almost humanizes them. We see their struggles, their backgrounds, and what makes them tick. I think that there's a thin line here. I think it's important to understand the psyche behind them because it's educational and it's just really fascinating. But it also reminds us that there are a lot of factors that play into their descent into darkness. There is this level of nature versus nurture that I also find really fascinating because not everyone becomes a serial killer. And what is the difference? I think that there's also a risk involved because too much depth and too much focus on the killer's pain and challenges, there is that risk of romanticizing them, which I think is really gross. The victims should always be the focus because they are the people who, I mean, there are people who have survived these attacks, but then there are also their families, and it's devastating to these people. And yes, of course, serial killers have families too, and so they are, I consider them also victims. And I think that we should focus on those kinds of things. I mean, let's talk for a second, just because this case is ongoing right now, about the Gilgo Beach murderer, the Long Island serial killer. Well, the suspect that has been apprehended, at least, Rex Huerman, his family is suffering so much, and so I see them as victims as well. And so while I find the psychology behind serial killers intriguing, I, like I said, have reservations about the extent to which they are sometimes romanticized in pop culture. I think it's important to differentiate the understanding of their background and glorifying their actions. We have to remember that there are real victims and real pain associated with these stories and these movies and shows that we watch. So glorifying or romanticizing these figures can really overshadow the trauma that is experienced by their victims, such as their families and the families of the victims. In essence, while it is fascinating to delve into the minds of these individuals through media, we have to approach it with caution and awareness, always keeping in mind the distinction between fact and fiction and understanding versus admiration. Switching gears a little bit from real life monsters, we can talk about the world of pop culture and serial killers in pop culture. As I mentioned before, there have been several movies made about both Ted Bundy and Jeff Dahmer. There are tons of other serial killer movies out there. They have a significant presence in movies, TV shows, and books for decades. But what impact does this have on our perception of these evil figures? From the cunning Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs, which happens to be my favorite movie, I am nuts and have watched that movie 10 million times and it never gets old. He is such a fascinating character. Then we have the meticulous Dexter Morgan in the series Dexter. I feel like he is also one of my favorite fictional characters. I love the idea of a vigilante serial killer. Obviously, the representation of serial killers in the media has varied widely. Sometimes they're the pure evil antagonist, while other times they are portrayed with a depth that almost humanizes them. We see their struggles, their backgrounds, and what makes them tick. I think that there's a thin line here. I think it's important to understand the psyche behind them because it's educational and it's just really fascinating. But it also reminds us that there are a lot of factors that play into their descent into darkness. There is this level of nature versus nurture that I also find really fascinating, because not everyone becomes a serial killer. And what is the difference? I think that there's also a risk involved, because too much depth and too much focus on the killer's pain and challenges, there is that risk of romanticizing them, which I think is really gross. The victims should always be the focus, because they are the people who, I mean, there are people who have survived these attacks, but then there are also their families, and it's devastating to these people. And yes, of course, serial killers have families too, and so they are, I consider them also victims, and I think that we should focus on those kinds of things. I mean, let's talk for a second, just because this case is ongoing right now, about the Gilgo Beach murderer, the Long Island serial killer. Well, the suspect that has been apprehended, at least, Rex Huerman, his family is suffering so much, and so I see them as victims as well. And so while I find the psychology behind serial killers intriguing, I, like I said, have reservations about the extent to which they are sometimes romanticized in pop culture. I think it's important to differentiate the understanding of their background and glorifying their actions. We have to remember that there are real victims and real pain associated with these stories and these movies and shows that we watch. So glorifying or romanticizing these figures can really overshadow the trauma that is experienced by their victims, such as their families and the families of the victims. In essence, while it is fascinating to delve into the minds of these individuals through media, we have to approach it with caution and awareness, always keeping in mind the distinction between fact and fiction and understanding versus admiration. Well, guys, that's a wrap. From the spine-tingling whispers of Halloween's past to those seriously creepy tales about serial killers and the urban legends, we've had a real haunted roller coaster ride today. I hope that you had as much of a blast as I did putting this episode together. Now, before I let you all go and eat all the Halloween candy, I've got some special news for you all. Mark your calendars and set your alarms for next week's episode, dropping next Tuesday, because the one and only No Excuses coach, Christopher Rausch, will be on the show. Trust me, you all want to hear what he has to say. His story is so incredibly inspiring, and honestly, it's just wild. And for those of you who are a little bit nosy, don't worry, I am too. You can sneak a peek into my world by following me on Instagram at teatime.tara. Keep an ear out for my Fresh Out of the Oven podcast, Life's Reality, launching next month, where I will be diving deep into the roller coaster ride of divorce, single parenting, and finding the quest for love afterward. This show, I am hoping to have a different co-host every episode, even if it's just a rotation of a few different divorcees and single parents that I know. I think that we are going to have so much fun talking about these things. And I also think that it is so important to talk about these topics, because they seem to be so taboo, and I want to help to eliminate some of that taboo. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure that you drop a review. Make sure that you like my show if you haven't. Give me that little 5-star rating. It really does help other people to find the show. The more ratings and positive reviews that I get, the more people my show reaches and the more lives that we can change. I would really appreciate hearing your feedback. They make what I do so much more important, and you can always reach me on Instagram via my DMs. I check them a few times a day. You can check me out on my website. You can go to teatimewithtara.com. There is a contact page. And if you're interested in starting your own podcast, reach out to me. I would love to have you join me and I can help you get going. On that note, I am sending you all the Halloween spooky vibes. I hope that you are going to have fun, whether you're just hanging out at home watching a scary movie or taking your kids out trick-or-treating or serving candy to trick-or-treaters. Stay safe, have fun, and I will catch you soon. Thank you so much for checking out this spooky episode of Tea Time with Tara.